I like that song we close with. All I ask, all I have. We're just laying it at His feet. We're giving ourselves to the Lord because that's where He wants to meet with us. That's where we can meet with Him. And I wanted to actually look at a portion of Scripture that flows with that thought. And it's in Mark chapter 5. If we could turn there this morning. Look at Mark chapter 5. And it's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. We have a song that kind of goes along with that, might be familiar with. But the story goes is that Jesus had been asked by the ruler of the synagogue to heal his daughter. His daughter was near death, and so Jesus was on his way to do that when he has an encounter with a lady. And so let's read this passage. It's Mark 5, verses 25 through 34. And it says, "A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and nothing was better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I will be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue was gone out of him, turned around and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Do you see the multitude thronging you, and you're saying, "Who touched me?" And he looked around about and to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Be whole of your plague.'" And so here's a picture of someone in desperation, right? They had spent their last penny pursuing different avenues of what might be an answer for them, but they found nothing, right? And so her desperation caused her to press through the crowd, and she received a healing touch because of it. Really, she had no other recourse, right? No other option. Her money was gone. Doctors couldn't do anything, even though she probably went to the best doctors money could buy to do that. But when she came to the end, she must have heard something about a man named Jesus. And in hearing that, faith entered into her heart. And she, I mean, can you imagine the faith? Even now, it's hard for me to comprehend. All I need to do is just touch one part of his garment, and I'll be made whole. I mean, that was some faith. That's why Jesus said, to some of those people, "Great is your faith." It was remarkable. Just the fringe of his garment. So you kind of get the picture of her just, pushing through the crowd, people surrounding. Everyone wants a blessing from the master, right? So they all crowd around. Probably people looking for the same thing, and maybe they're touching him, and nothing's happening. But this lady, you kind of get the idea. She just kind of put her arm through and just got a little piece of his garment and touched it, and the power of God flowed, and she was made whole. But that really comes down to that thought of desperation. If she was not so desperate, she wouldn't have done all that, right? She would have said, "Well, maybe there's another recourse. Maybe there's a doctor way up in, Galilee or something. I'll try him. I haven't tried him yet." She was desperate. She was desperate. Now, someone once said a little phrase I thought was pretty good. "The desperate get delivered." The desperate get delivered. That's a pretty good title. And it's so very true. In order to get free of a bondage or to obtain deliverance or to have that meeting with God, it requires desperation. And so I just wanted to consider a few things about this woman for the purpose of understanding how can we obtain our deliverance, how can we meet with God in our situations. And one of the things we see in verse 26 is that she had spent everything. Right? She spent everything. She had gone to the physicians, she spent all she had, and she was not better, but in fact she was worse, because it had just continued for 12 years. And so we see that picture of many years she tried to find a solution on her own. You know, isn't that kind of the common problem of man, right? How many years do we try and figure it out on our own before we realize, hey, I think the Lord can do this. The Lord wants to do something in me. All right, what do I need to do to meet Him? Right? She finally came to that place. And, you know, but we can so often try and seek other people's advice or, you know, of course the internet is the answer all today, right? We just Google it and figure out our self-help steps, 12 steps to whatever we want. But, you know, when it comes down to it, there's some things in life we can only get from the Lord. And so here this lady, she came to the end, right? She had nothing left. And, you know, sometimes we have to come to that place. Sometimes God will allow us to do that, right? To spin our wheels for a while till we realize we don't have what it takes. We don't have the strength. We can't do it on our own. You know, kind of like the prodigal son. That story still amazes me, thinking of how godly a father he had. And he had everything. In fact, he had everything he needed at home to meet with God and to have a prosperous life. But instead, he thought, well, I want to try it my way first. But, you know, the father let him do it. He didn't try he did try to reason with him and such. But yet the father knew he has to spend everything first before he'll realize what he needs and what's really valuable in life. Of course, we want to realize that before we spend everything. But yet there's that sense that we have to come to the end of ourselves one way or another. Hopefully, it's sooner rather than later, right? Because it's a long, hard road, as we see through the prodigal son and through this lady's life. But we want to come to that place. Lord, I need you. In fact, in Luke 15 and verse 16, we see that the prodigal son, I like what it says about him here. Luke 15, 16 and 17, you know, he had a pretty low job, like feeding the animals and the unclean animals, by the way. And so it says in Luke 15, 16, it says, "And he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, because no one gave him anything to eat. And when he came to himself," that's really it. When he came to himself, it's like he finally had that moment of clarity after however many months or maybe even a year or years of the fog and of doing his own thing, doing his own will. And that's really what it is. When we do what we're doing, we're living in a fog and we can't see the reality. Of course, that fog is created by Satan. He's trying to cloud our judgment and cloud, you know, what we see. Kind of we see a mirage of what looks good, and oh, if I could only reach that, and we reach it, and there's nothing there. But oh, look, let's go a little farther. There's something over there, and you know, it's never ending. But it says, when he came to himself, I'm dying of hunger, but my father has plenty of food for his servants. I'm just going to go be a servant in his house. You know, when he finally came to himself, and he was willing to humble himself, that's when he was delivered. He was set free. He had a meeting. Well, you could say in this sense, he had a meeting with the Lord, and he understood what the truth was. So sometimes we need to come to the end of our way of thinking, of our reasoning, of what we think is right, or what we deserve, or what we should be happening to us. Sometimes it can be difficult. Can be a long road, but it's till we realize that God's way is best, that His way is best, and we realize nothing else is worth it. You know, it's good to pray, Lord, bring me to the end of myself sooner rather than later. Lord, don't let me just follow whatever my desires are round and round and round, because we can do that till the day we die. But instead, we want to say, Lord, just bring me to the end of myself so I can... Because that's when life really begins and blessing really begins, because we can follow Him. And we can be led by the Master wherever He would lead us. And I think God wants to bring us to that place if we'll ask Him. Of course, this could be humbling, right? That the prodigal son, he had to humble himself. He didn't say, "Well, I'm going to go back and be a son again," because he realized he left it all. He blew it big time. He said, "No, I'm willing to just be a servant, because at least I'll have food. At least I'll live." See, he was willing to humble himself. And, you know, that's that place we must come to in one way or another, you know, where we humble ourselves. We're willing to do what the Lord says, even when it seems, you know, very low. You think about Naaman, that great captain of the host of Syria. He had money, he had power, prestige. He was basically the number two guy under the king, but he had leprosy. And so he hears that rumor that there's a prophet in Israel that heals people. So he's sent over there and, you know, goes to the king and says, "Where's the guy the prophet who heals?" So the king says, "Oh man, Elisha, you better heal this guy." So he comes to Elisha's house, and Elisha didn't even come out. He just sent his servant and says, "Well, just go dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed." And Naaman was very upset, wasn't he? Right, he's a big man. He's an important man. How dare this guy not come out and do some important thing and make a big show for me? Right, and he walked off in a huff, and he was pretty angry. But when he finally cooled down, at least his servants figured they could say something without getting in trouble. They said, "Master, if he had asked some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Now, all he's asking for you is just to go dip yourself in a river and wash off." And he realized, "Oh, you know what? You're right. Okay, I'll do it. I'll humble myself, and I'll do that." And he was made whole. It says his flesh became like the flesh of a little child. And didn't Jesus say we need to humble ourselves as a little child before Him? That's how we can be made whole. That's how we can be delivered. How we can be brought out of our captivity if we'll humble ourselves. And you know, a child, now we're talking about a good child here, right? Not naughty children. But you know, a good child, when mom and dad says, "Go clean your room," or "Go do this," they say, "Okay, we'll do it." They don't always understand, right? You know, if you've had kids, or maybe you've all been kids, you've been told to do something you don't understand, right? How many of us would have had a good time if we only did what we understood as children, right? Because we don't understand much. But you know, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. We are absolute babies when it comes to His kingdom, and there's so much we don't understand. And if we limit ourselves to only doing what we understand that God's directing us to do, oh, we're going to be so limited. But it's as we become children and say, "Lord, I don't understand it. I even disagree with it." Have you ever disagreed with the Lord sometimes? I have. I've said, "Lord, I don't understand this, and this seems like the opposite of what I should be doing. But Lord, what do I know? I just have to do it. I just have to humble myself and surrender." And then after the fact, I say, "Well, Lord, I'm so glad I did." Because He always turns it for good. So we want to have that humility. Now, coming back to this lady with the issue of blood, you notice that this woman came to this place where she ignored certain boundaries and limitations. Now, she was unclean because she had blood flowing, and she was not even supposed to be in mixed company, all right? I mean, if she came in there and touched someone, that person would be unclean. So here she was, going out in public, pushing through crowds, saying, "I need to touch Jesus." Now, if everyone had known what she was doing, she would have been in big trouble. But, you know, she didn't care. She just wanted Jesus. She just wanted to meet with Him. She wanted a touch from the Master more than anything else, and nothing was going to get in her way. Now, I'm not saying that we need to be people who go ignore all the rules. That's not what I mean. But, you know, sometimes we can have perceived boundaries or even self-made boundaries or limitations. And we say, "Well, Lord, I'll follow You, but I don't think I can do that." Or, "Lord, You wouldn't ask me to do that, would You? You wouldn't ask me to give that up or, you know, follow You in this way or submit to You in this way." But, you know, a little child just says, okay, if that's what you want, I'll do it. And so there's that aspect of those boundaries. You know, there can't be boundaries or limitations for the desperate. The desperate are willing to do whatever it takes. You know, how often have we told the Lord how we want it to be? But, you know, instead we need to say, Lord, how do you want it to be? What do you want to do? The Lord doesn't always like to stay within our boundaries, to play by our rules. He wants us to play by His rules. And so sometimes we can have little things in our heart that keep us from responding to Him. Right? Little fears, doubts, worries, and concerns. Sometimes they can be our biggest opponent to responding to the Lord. But if I come to the altar, what will everyone think of me? Especially when He says, come and repent. Well, that's our choice. What are we going to do? Because Jesus is at the altar to meet with us, to deliver us. Who cares what people think if we get delivered? They'll think better of us after we're delivered, after we're set free. And so we have to have this view, you know, that nothing will keep us from reaching out and receiving that touch from Jesus. Let's just as nothing would keep this woman, she must have been pushing people out of. I'd like to be there and just kind of see the expression on people's faces as she's like, oh, pushing them out of the way and sticking her arm through and reaching. But she received her touch because she would not let anything get in her way. And you notice something about Jesus' reaction. He required something. He said, who touched me? Now, Jesus is the Son of God, and He's also God, and He had a lot of understanding of the Spirit, but yet He said, who touched me? So He was requiring an acknowledgement, right? He wanted her to acknowledge what she was after and what she was doing and what she had done, you know. And you can kind of see this in other situations. You know, where people were pressing in for a touch, you know, Jacob in Genesis, you know, he's wrestling with an angel and he says, I'll not let you go until you bless me. And the angel asked, what's your name? And he had to reply, Jacob. Of course, Jacob meant deceiver. He had to acknowledge, my name's Jacob. I need a touch and I'm not going to let you go until you touch me. He was asking to be made different, to be made whole. But he had to acknowledge, look, I'm Jacob. I'm a deceiver. I've deceived my parents. I've deceived my, you know, my employer. Although his employer was a worse deceiver than him. But anyway, he needed a change, and he had to acknowledge, Lord, there's some things in me that I have to change. And sometimes we have to come to that place. God will just arrange that place where we have to acknowledge and come and confess, Lord, this thing is not right in me. I need to change. That's when we meet Him. You know, before David prayed that beautiful prayer in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, he said this in verse 3. Psalm 51 and verse 3. He said, for I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Lord, it was my fault. He didn't try to pin the blame on anyone else, right? He didn't say whatever excuse he could have said, Lord, there's so much pressure on me, or this and that and the other. Lord, it was me. He didn't blame other people. And he didn't blame God either. You know, he acknowledged the problem was with himself. You know, it's always amazing too when some people will try and blame everyone else, even God. Right? Have you ever heard someone blame God? Lord, why are you letting this happen to me? But you know, that's not going to set us free. The only thing that set us free is when we take our eyes off people and off the situation and we say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, there's weaknesses in me and I need to change. Because that opens up the door. You know, David didn't put blame on anyone else but himself, and it set him free. And that was a pretty bad place he was in. I mean, I wouldn't want to see any Christian in the kind of place David was at. But yet, when he acknowledged his sin, it set him free and put him on the pathway to restoration. to have a meeting with God. Now, in this process, just a couple more thoughts on this. In this process, there's something you see with this lady. I think that that's what makes it so remarkable, is that she did not give up. She did not give up. After 12 years, and then doing something crazy like going out in public and pushing people out of the way just to touch someone's robe, she didn't give up. Sometimes we can go through something for so long and just say, well, I guess I missed it, and I'll just live like this, or, oh well. But she didn't give up. Her attitude is, I don't have another option. I have to do this. Back in the 60s and 70s, the NASA program, we all remember like Apollo 13 from the movie, where they had that problem in space, and they were having a lot of trouble figuring out, how are we going to get these boys home? And the flight director, his name was Gene Kranz, and he wrote a book after the fact, and the title of his book was Failure is Not an Option. He didn't want to hear anything from his people that would result in failure. He wanted to hear ideas of success. And it was partly his attitude in kicking his guys into gear that helped them think outside the box and figure out how they were going to get these guys home. And that's why they overcame. That attitude, their failure is not an option. And, that's the thing we want to have. That's the attitude we want to develop. That's what this lady had. Why she received her touch. I can't fail in this. Because if I fail, I die. And so, Lord, I'm going to come. I'm just going to touch you. I'm going to do what it takes. It's the only thing I can do. And, it's so important that we have that outlook in life. Failing and not following the Lord and disobeying and such, that's not an option for me. I must follow Him. I must meet with Him in this situation. Even if it doesn't seem like it, right? I've been praying every morning for a month, Lord, and I'm not getting anywhere. What's going on? Well, we can stop praying, or we can keep praying. Failure is not an option. And that dictates which way we have to go. Sometimes it seems even like the opposite is happening, right? And you're seeking the Lord and the opposite happens. There's some other examples of those who came up, seeking the Lord from the Lord. And, remember the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15? She came, I thought it was pretty good for her to even approach the Lord. And then what happens? Right? She came begging for her daughter to be set free. And what did Jesus say? Well, I'm not sent to you. I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. I don't know. I would have been like, okay, I'll go home now. She wasn't satisfied. No, it's my daughter. Her life. It's her, she needs to be set free. And she asked again. And Jesus said, even worse, he said, well, I can't minister to the dogs, right? I can't take what's given for the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And even that, she said, but oh Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs. Can I just have a crumb of your power? Because she knew a crumb of his power is pretty powerful. It would be enough. And you know what Jesus proclaimed about this lady? She said, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Her spirit and her determination impressed Jesus. Of course, he was saying this, and he often said this about Gentiles, not even about Jews, about his people. He often had other choice words to say about, even disciples. But he looked at these folks and their attitude, because they were desperate. They knew they didn't have anything. They needed a touch. And they met him and received that touch. And, the ones that he said had the greatest faith were the lowest ones, but they didn't give up. They pressed in through the limitations and they obtained what they were seeking after. And so, of course, the end of this story is Jesus says to this lady with the issue of blood, he says, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Because she pressed in. And so this lady's life can be very instructive to us, you know, as we look at her example of how we can receive a touch from the Master, of how we can meet with Him. You know, let's ask the Lord, Lord, I need a touch from You. You know, but of course it has to come from that place of desperation. It's not that we need to work ourselves up to be desperate, but it has to come from that place where, Lord, there is no other avenue. I don't have any other source of wisdom or strength or ability or any other way that this need is going to be met. It's only through You. And if that's the case, then we do what it takes. We do it in His way, in His timing, in His obedience. And when we do it that way, we will receive our touch. When we come to the end of ourselves, when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, as the Scriptures say, He will lift us up. Now, so, you know, each of us has a different place and different season we're in, but perhaps you have a need or a desire or something you need from the Lord. We can come to Him and say, Lord, oh, I need a touch from You. Amen. Maybe we could just close with a little chorus, and then I'll come back and we can pray together. Let's stand as we close.